Do it again, aren't we? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. 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 I want you to know I appreciate all that you do for the ministry and all your support and your prayers, and you can feel them when you're in Haiti. Pastor, I've seen some strange things while I was in Haiti at the airport and around. Arnold and I were talking, and I guess it's about 2 years ago we were coming home from a trip, and a man sat down and started talking to us. I'd never met him before in my life, but he was talking, and there was just you ever know when you get just an evil spirit? I mean, it just, and we began to talk, and we tried to talk to him about Jesus, and he wasn't having any of it, and it just unnerved you while you're sitting there. And as far as we know, we never gave him my name. You know, I talked to him, and he talked, and I told him about Christ. And then all of a sudden, he goes and sits down, and he starts going crazy like he's out of his mind. And he starts to insult this Haitian lady, and of course, they go neck and head. And I'm sitting there, and I told Arnold, I said, there's a demon in that man. I believe that with all my heart. And all of a sudden, Pastor, he looked up and he said, Thomas, sit here. And Arnold looked at me and said, did you tell me your name? I said, I don't think so. And so I told him, I said, well, I'm not going up there to see it while he's causing all that commotion. But that's not the only thing. Then we were in Haiti this time in a church service, and I hear a bunch of rick-and-roar going on in the church. And a guy comes in wanting the microphone. I hear him say, I want to talk to Pastor Thomas. I thought, I don't remember him, but I'll certainly talk with him after. See, the devil is stirring things up, and the devil is getting so much control that it's just getting thicker, and I believe that's what it was before Jesus came. And I believe you're going to stand for Christ, you better stand for Christ, and you better stay prayed up, and you better plead the blood, and you better get what you're going to do done, because I believe the time's about to run out when we can do anything. And so I want you to know I do appreciate everything y'all do for the ministry. I'm going to try to get, Pastor, how long do I have? A few minutes or however long?
Whatever you need.
Okay, thank you. Well, first of all, I want to give an announcement on the children in the home. You know, they came in there, they were little, and now they're, some of them taller than me. Our children in the home are happy. There's more smiles coming from their face than there is frowns. That makes it refreshing when you're in a house full of children, teenagers, and they're smiling and they're happy in the Lord. They're helpful. I know my dad used to have to kind of encourage me sometimes to be helpful when I was a teenager. But you can start doing something and they want in on it. They want to take part. In fact, you just might as well show them what you're doing and get out of the way, because they enjoy it. So our kids are helpful. They're well behaved. Now, when they was little, we had to stop a fight every now and then. They'd get into it. But the older they got and the more the Word of God they got into them, I tell you what, they're well behaved. And they're willing to learn. They don't mind for you to sit and show them something. They're hungry to learn whatever they can. And they're not only willing to learn, but eager. I mean, they ask you questions. They want to know what's going on here, what's doing that. And you get questions from the Bible. And then Bello comes up and says, I've got something to ask you from the Bible. I said, well, let's talk about it. And we talk about it, and the kids get involved. So they're eager to learn. They're ready when it comes time to go to the house of God. Now, I don't have to get up Pastor Lawson and go hunt them and find them. We know, and hey, they start a little earlier because it's so hot. So you get up pretty early and you go to the house of God. And they'll tell you, well, be there at 7:30. Well, that means be there for, you know, about an hour of singing and some Sunday school, and then however long the preaching goes, that's good. But they're ready to go to the house of God. You don't have to force them. And you know what? Before you leave, you know what those teenagers have the audacity to do? They want to get a little chair and sit it in the foyer of the home, and they want to get around you and have a prayer service. Well, that touches my heart. That tells me that the kids are maturing and they're getting closer and closer to the Lord of God. And so you say, Brother Tom, you sound like you're proud of them. I am. I am. They call me Poppy Tom, and that's all right. And I brag on them every chance I get. I told them, I said, you're getting better and better. I said, you're getting so good, I'm about going to have to hug you to death before it's over with. So we enjoy them. Our kids are doing great. And then the staff that's on site that lives there, Bello and Origin and Lisa, well, I believe they're the best staff we've ever had. We had to go through some thinning and through some correcting after being in the home for a while, but we've got some in there that love the Lord. You know what? I don't have to ask them, will they have a devotional with the children? Hey, Brother Tom, we're going to have a devotion. They have it right outside my door. So that's saying, Brother Tom, time to come to church. And they get in there and they have a time. So I think it's the best staff we've ever had. They love the Lord. And I also believe they love the kids. They treat them just like their own children. Now, if you've got children of your own and you treat them good, that's one thing. But when you take the children that God's given you care over, and you take them in, you love on them, and you laugh, and you do things with them, that's what we intended. That's what we asked God for. We didn't ask for an orphanage. We asked for a children's home. We weren't looking to farm them out. We wanted them to come in and to become a family, and that's exactly what the Lord's did. And a lot of that's due to the staff we have. They work alongside the kids. They have devotional with the kids. In other words, they're a family. And boy, this country we're living in now needs families, don't they? They need families to come together, love each other, spend time together, get in the Word together, praise God together. And when they fail, just overlook it and do better the next chance you get and find out what you need to find from the Lord. Our school at Onjibo up on the mountain 3 miles, it's growing by leaps and bounds. We started out with a handful of kids. I think we're at 100 now, and it's still growing. And those are kids that wouldn't have got to have an education. They most of them are not eating regularly. So we began with the school, and then God provided where we could serve a meal at the school. And then, you know, somebody comes to night, then it was a good one. They're hungry when school ain't in there too. So we were able to keep going with God's money and the help of people like you. And so they eat year round. They come there and they have one meal a day. And that's some of them. That's probably the best one I have. So we're able to serve and to do those things because of God's people like you. And also, we have a principal there, volunteer, that's a man of God. He took that little school, he prayed over it, and he invests his life. I've never seen anybody, sister, so busy as Pastor Volunteer. Matter of fact, he wasn't too busy when I asked him to come to the home. I said, would you come to the home and teach the Bible to the kids on Friday? He comes down and he spends 3 or 4 hours with the kids. And when I got there, it's time, guess what? He was testing them on the Word of God. I went, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And by the way, he's also the pastor of the church we got up on. And it's growing. We're going to have to build benches. We're going to have to kick a wall out. It's getting so full that I believe we're going to have to grow. And so it's just amazing what God's done. And then while we were there, we had some projects we're going to do. In the kitchen, when we first went home, it wasn't finished. You know, we moved from one to the other. And they're putting plywood down. And Brother Andy's going to put tile on top. I said, won't last. I said, they'll wash dishes up here. And that water goes through there and it'll be tore. Well, guess what? It rotted. And so Arnold and I went there and we built some forms, and the kids made concrete, and they started helping us. And so we have a new concrete countertop, and I believe that'll stand the test of time. And then outside, our biggest amount of cooking is at the charcoal area, the outside, and they had a wooden, you know, big bench out there that they cooked on, set those big things on. Well, we had plenty of concrete, so we built another one, put a sink out there, and run them a drain outside. So they were excited, And I was thinking, you know, the way they wash clothes is this way. And the way they wring clothes is this way. And that's a pretty tough way to doing it. And I went over to Habitat for Humanity. I had to get my glasses a little while ago over at the VA. And I went in there. I'd never seen it before. But there was a You remember those old washing machines that had the cranks, hand crank? I said, I'm going to get that to Haiti somehow or another. $20, what a deal. And I called the women. I said, you're going to love me when I get there this time. And we got it there, and we set up where they had to. And they looked at it, and they thought, I wonder what that is. They thought it was to make pastries. I mean, never seen one before. I said, no. I said, it would work for that, I guess. I said, but watch this. And we got a piece of clothes real wet. We started it through. That water. Then we picked it up for them and went like this. Nothing came out. They went. I said, I'm going to keep my eye out for another one of those. I said, that is a blessing. So we got that taken care of. So God was good to us. And then the boys, they had an outside shower that they built themselves. They wanted an outside shower. They built it out of wood, and you know what happens with wood in a few years, it rotted. So we got some block, and we got some boys together, and I've got some pictures. If I ever get them all developed, I'll put some back there, and you see these boys and these girls working. And we built up the wall out of the block, and we put a new drain in out there. And them boys got in there, and boy, you talk about happy. He said, it's all right. Yeah. And they're out there just bathing, enjoying it. So God was good to us. And then we thought, well, Bello told me a couple of times, trips ago, he said, I don't have room here for a garden. I said, you got all kind of room for a garden. He looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate, because he's looked around, there's not that much land there. I said, you got all kind of room for a garden. And he said, where? I said, up on that concrete roof where we put the solar panels. I said, there's plenty of room on there. So we started a bucket garden. Pretty neat little thing, got a wick in it, and you got a pipe goes down in it, you pour the water in, it wicks it up. You don't have to do it every day. So we're hoping that'll develop, and then if we do pretty good at that, we'll start us some boxes up on there. And got us some rabbits. Was going to, you know, they have trouble now getting through Marty Salt where all the gangs are, and it slows down the chicken, you know, that you can get to feed the kids. So I've got some rabbits, and I told Bella, I said, you get, you know, a couple of does and one male. I said, in no time, you'll have plenty of rabbits. And so we went and bought three rabbits, found for $5 a piece. I thought, what a deal. Took them home. And guess whose dog killed two of the rabbits right off the bat? My dog. Somebody brought a dog in there, and I named it Becky's. And it's got a collar on. I said, what dog killed it? Because we got two guard dogs, and they said, Becky's. I said, oh, my goodness. So we had to revamp that. But God took care of that. Now, listen to this. I run into somebody broke down that I knew that had started a program where you come in. It's kind of like the where the kids raise chickens and then they give back. Yeah. You get a pen, a cage, free rabbits, and all you do is when you raise some, you get pretty good after and they give you classes on it. You give them back a few kids, free rabbits. God knew my dog got me in trouble, so he got me out of it. So God's been blessing us with that. And then We broke down on the road. I haven't been broke down, Pastor, 30 seconds. And here comes somebody pulls on, Pastor Tom. It was a young Haitian man I knew and knew him for a long time. He said, what's the matter? I said, I think off meter went bad. And so we put his battery on mine and my battery on his, and we got to where we was going. And then I was sitting there, and Gene, the man that helps us there, and he does all the interpreting when we preach and everything. He shows up, a man I'd never seen named Tangay. I got to talking to him, and he just stopped to give Gene a ride. Now, you say, what's this got to do with ministry? I'm going to tell you in just a minute. It's how God works. We've been wanting to buy some property or lease some property for quite a while now. Will it take place? I hope the board goes for it. I think it's a good deal. But he's a Haitian that had worked at Christianville, which was a ministry for 17 years. And then he started to build things for the, as a matter of fact, Sister Sue up there, the nurse. He built her compound. He built Pastor Jeff's compound in a partnership. And so he said, I've got land. He said, why didn't you come and find me first? I said, well, I didn't know of you. I said, I knew of the ministry, but I didn't know your name. And so I think it was Tyson, the chicken place. They started and decided they were going to build a place there. Well, for some reason, Tyson left my van, caused all the trouble. You know, it's in there. I don't know, but it came up so far with the walls. Big building. And this guy has his own filtration system, took and showed it to me. And it's already run over to the building, and it's sitting there already. And you'll be able to actually take a shower. If you'll pump it over, and for the first time in a long time, I'll be able to set the bucket aside and stand there in the shower, and kids say, you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Go sit and take a bucket bath for a month or two. It means a lot. So he said, there's two ways they do land here. He said, you can buy it. He said, or you can lease it. Now, I found out buying it, we tried that several times, but if there's a cousin out there in the hills somewhere that nobody's kept with, you can go ahead and lose your land anyway, even with going through the proper channels, because that one can object and come in. And so I told the board, I said, I believe we'd be safer if we could find if we did have to go to court or something, to find a lease property. Well, Pastor Lawson, he offered us a lease for 25 years for $25,000. That's pretty cheap. And he's willing to go through all the right things. And then he had that building up so far. And he said, I tell you what, he said, if you'll, I forget what it is, I'll give you the exact thing. But he gave us a price to lease it and him do a turnkey job on that building. I'm all for the turnkey job. I could, for what he's asking us, I couldn't build half that building for it in Haiti. So you pray that if this is what God wants, you know, as board of directors, we're spirits, but we think we've got to help God all the time. And I always knew eventually when God was ready to do it, he put it together in a simple way. So I'm hoping this is what happened. You pray that it is and gives us wisdom, because somebody I never knew gives somebody I've known a ride to the house, comes in and talk to me, a building ain't been completed because some big business, for whatever reason, whether it's all the trouble or not, didn't want to finish with it, and now there's been an offer made. So I wouldn't be surprised God wasn't in that somewhere. So you pray if that's so that we take care of it and we have enough wisdom to accept it. And then we have sewing classes. We started sewing class in the home. We got three sewing machines. Those, what do you call them? Yeah, treadle. Okay, treadle. And I thought, well, maybe the girls will be interested in that. But you know, every kid in the house got interested in that. And I just had a fashion show put on. I got pictures of it. Them boys got as interested as the girls did. And so I said, well, can we have a fashion show? So I got pictures. The boys come out and they make their shirt. The girls just stand there beaming ear to ear. That's something you can make a living at in Haiti. Those uniforms have to be made, so they're making their own clothes. I think that's a blessing. And then while we're there, we went down to now our board calls it Skill Bank. I call it Trade School. And we were looking for one that was accredited. And sister, bless your heart, we went right to one. And we went in and talked to them, and they took and showed us the whole thing. They got backhoe operating school, everything. And they have to take a state government test at the end of be licensing credit. And I like that, too. And so we've got the kids now, the list of it, and they're going to go down the line. And the things that they're interested in, we're going to hopefully have some people come in, maybe sponsor them. And it'd be terrible to raise kids from when they were little and then get them up to where the age comes that they tell us we have to let them go from the home and them not have a way to support themselves or support a family if they get one. That, That would be a crime, I think. And so God's opened the door on that. Amen. Pastor, remember how trip went? I said, one of the best we ever had in a long time. And then I was praying so hard. I said, Lord, I said, I ain't seen a bee tree cut over there in a while. I said, you know what happens when a bee tree gets cut, don't you? The bees come out and something comes alive, right? Everybody's moving and got some juice to them. Well, we got in there one night and I was going to preach on a Sunday night. And I had a message. And you know what God gave me a message from? A track, a Haitian track. I sat there for the service and looking at the track. And I thought, man, that'll preach. And God said, yeah, I'll preach it. So we prayed. We went to preaching. And you talk about the Holy Spirit coming in. He wasn't there when we got there. But in due time, he showed up and you could feel it. And I mean, it just got turned loose. And I'm getting old. I don't move around like I used to. But my interpreter was running with the mic behind me. And we were down the aisle just having a good time. God cut a bee tree. And then Brother Arnold comes in. And God blesses him. And he blesses the people. And I mean, we were having a time with it. And then we got to preach at what I called a stick church, what we used to preach at when we had a building to preach at. And you know what? God opened up more doors to take the gospel a little further up in the mountain. Noel and I used to talk and say, there's got to be another work somewhere up there. Well, there is. It's a lot of voodoo people around there. And an old faithful pastor that's got a stick church but loves the Lord. So I believe God's opened the door. So, Pastor, I had a good time. Now, I got, first time in 25 years, I got dysentery. I did. But I had the medicine to slow it down, and that didn't change any part of it being a good treat. It's just that Arnold and I had the time it just right to take care of the problem. God was good with that, too. And I won't go into any more detail with it, but I lost 12 pounds. I needed to. You can't tell it. I guess after you get old, Brother Lawson, you lose 20 pounds and it still looks like you're old and fat. So that's where we are. I've come to accept it. Perhaps in the glorified body, I'll finally be back to what I was when I was an athlete. Amen. I believe that. So one other thing I want you to pray with us. We try to feed true widows. There's some there, and it's hard in Haiti right now. Things are up so high. And we try to feed them. And the way we feed them, we go buy bags of beans, bags of rice, corn, oil, spices. And then we have the guys get the truck. We put them in the bags, and we disperse them among the true widows there. So we'd like to do that once a month. That's a big help to them. And so we're looking for people to partner with us on that. I think we could probably do that with the amount that we've been working with, probably about $400 a month. So you pray about it. If God tells you to feed a widow, then do that. I've got one that she's adopted me. She says she's my grandmother. She's always make sure I send pictures to Haiti, so every time I go to Haiti and I end up anywhere in that area, she comes up and gives me big sugar here, here, and here. And I say, I thank you, grandmother. But she's a true widow and she needs help. But that gets us up to about, you know, what happened to the trip. But God was good to us. God's real good to me. You remember, I got to the point where a doctor had me about to the point with this Parkinson where I wasn't moving good. And I thought, well, it's over. I'm not going to be able to do it. And you know what? God got me to the right doctor. I ain't kicking as high as I did 10 years ago, but I'm still kicking. And so I'm hoping God will keep us moving and able to continue to go until some young people comes. Or even better than that, the Lord comes for the church. So that's where we're at. And Pastor, was I supposed to bring a preacher, or was you going to preach? Okay. I didn't know. Okay. Well, I'll just end it with this. You know, we're in a world that's gone crazy. And the reason the world's gone crazy is the world needs Jesus. And the only way they're going to get to know Jesus is somebody goes and tells them. Somebody. What did Jesus do? He came to this earth to what? To seek and to save that which was lost. He came. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to get there. Somebody's got to take the word. Somebody's got to go where it's never been heard and tell people about the good news of Christ and how their life can change. So, Jesus came. Aren't you glad he did? There's a lot of people in Haiti glad somebody came. And there's a lot of people over in the Philippines glad because somebody came. And there's people all around this world glad they're your brother and sister in Christ because, like Christ, somebody came. Now, everybody can't make a trip, right? I've talked to people, and some of them tell me, they said, I don't like to fly. The Word of God says, lo, he's with me always. And I said, well, he's with you up in there, too. I like flying in little Cessnas over the mountain myself, but anyway, they can't go, but they've helped me go a lot of times, and they've met a need, and they've provided the finances, and God's took a little and made a lot take place. And as a matter of fact, some of the people that's in the ministry with us there was little kids that grew up, and God kept them in the ministry. So you see, God got a plan. He just needs somebody who's willing to get with him and work with him. And so God came. And you know what? What did God do when he came? He met the needs, didn't he? He met the needs physically. He fed them. Now, it's true in the Bible. He said, some of you are just coming because of the meat and the bread I've given you. And that's paraphrasing, but that's exactly what it is. But there was also those who came and accepted. So that's why we fashioned the ministry through the years. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to help them get there. Somebody's got to help them finance whatever takes place. Unfortunately, it takes money to do ministry. I hate that, but it does. But I've seen God take a pot of soup. It shouldn't have went no further than 20 people, and it fed 100. And you people say, you're crazy. No, I'll take you to a bunch of people that was eyewitness to it. Just kept dipping soup. I told them, I said, you will not eat nothing until we feed these people. I said, get your sardines back out and your crackers. When it's over, we'll eat. Well, we ate two out of that soup. Now, you say, you're crazy. You're off your rocker. No, you just don't have as big God as I do and see what he does sometimes. But somebody had to go. Somebody has to supply the means. And somebody had to tell them. Well, why you tell them? Well, I believe Hebrews 9:12 is pretty serious. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. What happened to preaching on the blood? What happened to people talking about the blood? You want to know why kids are shooting kids and people are killing people and life don't mean nothing? Because they don't have Christ. Because people quit preaching and teaching about the blood of Christ and the remission of sins. That he is the way, the only way, the true way. And that he's the only thing that can solve the problems of this world. Somebody's got to preach about the blood, don't they? It just seems strange that we go to a church first wanting to be tree cut, and guess what? He cuts it when you're talking about the blood. About your papa. About his son that loves you so much. And about the Holy Spirit that was kind enough to point you to him. Isn't that good? Is that hard to say that? That's the gospel, isn't it? Not just that, you have to remind them that once you're saved, once you're born again, once you've been trusted, once he sent somebody to you, that he made you a promise. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Even if we're not so, I've told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And you can count on it. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Ye that are covered in the blood of Christ. He said, "You're an old man. You shouldn't get excited. You'll have a heart attack." Well, I couldn't think of a better place to leave from than here. I'll hit the ground there and be there in just a split second. Sometimes it makes you want to speed the thing up, doesn't it, and not take your medicine. But I'm just joking. Don't do that. Don't do that. I take plenty of to keep me moving. But folks, that's what happens. That's what you've done all these years. You don't know how many people's been led to the Lord through the years. You don't know how many people's been fed. You know how many people's been comforted. You know how many people's been showed love. It never knew that somebody could love them that way. Just a tender touch sometimes. Now, I grew up being raised kind of rough. Man, don't cry. You know, snuggle and hug on the people. But you know what? That crippled me a little bit for a while until Jesus Christ said, "I love you." Reach out his arms, hugged me, told me how special I was to him. And then through the years, when I think I can't go any further, just come over here and sit right here. People wonder, is life worth living? It is when you have Christ in your heart. It certainly is. A lot of people say, I just feel like in it. Don't you dare. You know what you're needing? More time with Christ. And get your mind and your eyes on Him and quit trying to get your nose in everybody's business. God will clean people up when it's time. And once Christ truly gets in your heart and you learn to love, you don't have to wonder how to love your wife or your children or how to treat them. When He's there, He always puts others before Himself. And that's what a man should do. If he's a father and a husband, he should put his family before. I believe that. But I couldn't do it until I knew Jesus. I was crippled. So that gives you the report on it, maybe a little dab of preaching. I just want to know. We don't have much time. How many people want to go home? I'm ready. Well, just maybe if we'd do what God called us to do, love people like He loved them, tell them about Christ, maybe He'd come real soon. You say, "Well, now there is an appointed time." You need to go look in the Old Testament. Jesus made them offer, didn't He? He said, "Would you like it to be as eyes? We accept it right now." God's always got a plan. Just maybe one of us ain't reaching the right person. Maybe we might talk to the right person tomorrow and us all go home and it be over. But we got to talk. We got to go to them. We got to tell them about Christ. We got a meaning in our heart, and we got to love them. I'm glad God took a backwards, ignorant country boy and called him to preach the Word of God and put him in a church like this where you know people got you back. Amen. I love you. I appreciate you. And every soul won, every person fed, everybody's had a kind word, you had a part in it. I'll make you a deal. I'll pray God will let me keep going if you'll help me keep going. Pretty good deal. I'll even thank you when it settles down a little bit where I ain't worried something happened to you. All right, well, I'm going to pray with you. And Pastor, I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to stand tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you let people like us have something to do in your word to reach the lost. God, help us to have the heart of Christ, the mind of Christ, the eyes of Christ, the will of Christ, and the power of Christ in our life as we do what you call us to do. And God, we're homesick. We've never seen it with our eye, but we sure felt it in our heart. God, I ask that you help us get about the Father's business so we can come to the Father's house and see our Papa very soon. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.